Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here in New York City. It's been, I think, almost a month. Yeah, I'm doing these monthly now, so not too often, but here I am. And boy, has it been another really hard month. 2 months since October 7th. Been really depressed, feeling better now. For the last couple of days, I hope it holds for a few days already. I was just feeling so hopeless and constantly on the verge of tears all day. And simultaneously, and I think it was right after October 7th, I started to watch 6 Feet Under. It came on Netflix, and I was like, oh, this looks like dark humor. This is my kind of thing, and I became obsessed with it. And honestly, it was like, it made me, I wasn't sure if the show was making me feel worse or if I was just, it was just reflecting how I was feeling already, which was really interesting. Like, I kept thinking about that each night as it got worse and worse. If you've watched it back in the early 2000s, it's like from 2000 to 2005 or 2001, something like that. There were 5 seasons, and it was originally on HBO, I think. And we never had cable, so I never watched it. I'd heard about it, but also had a young child. And anyway, we didn't have cable. I refused to get cable. Still don't have cable. And now I've got a, computer. So that's how we all watch TV now, right? So many of us. I don't know. Don't have a big screen TV on the wall. No. Anyway, so this show, like, if you've watched it, I mean, first of all, it was taking me out of the horrors of the world, of my world, of our world, for a couple of hours a day and into someone else's problems. I mean, that's always the draw. Like, let me watch somebody else's problems. But at the same time, it's like, what lessons does it have for me, right? And oh my God, this show is like, I love this kind of thing. It's like death and talking ghosts and it's a family. The children are grown. They all live in the same house. Their father dies. Very first episode. It's kind of cool because every single episode, they have a they show you a little scene of somebody who dies, or it could be a couple of people. Most of the time, it's one person, and what date they were born and when they died, and they show you how they die. And they have 99% of them have no connection to the family. So they're strangers to them as well. And they live in this family lives in LA. And so it's like in this beautiful old Victorian house, and they live above a funeral home. That's their family business. And the first floor serves as the funeral parlor, and the basement is where they prepare dead bodies for burial or for cremation. And a lot of times they have open caskets, and they're embalming also. And you see them most of the time they embalm. Because even when people are being cremated, they often want to show, but they're multi-faith, multi-religious. And throughout the show, different characters have conversations with the dead. Like, their father dies, and throughout the entire 5 seasons, the father shows up at random times and will be having a conversation with someone in the family. And so he or any other ghosts from the bodies that they're preparing, will spontaneously show up. And it's pretty, I mean, so that's funny. And it's also like really serious. It's pretty obvious that the various characters are working through their own issues through these conversations, and they're imagining these people to be there, but it's like they believe that that person is really there talking to them too. And you see them having real conversations as if the person is alive, and obviously the actor is there, right? But it's so interesting because it's a fine line between being sure that it's simply their own imagination, their fears and struggles, and that the ghosts actually being there. You're not quite sure. And you know, how much of the conversation, the way the conversation goes is their own projection on the person, and their situation, or if it's their own inner struggles. Like one of the main characters in the family is gay, and he's really struggling with coming out. And he's like, I don't know, he's like almost 30 years old, I think, or maybe he is already 30. So anyway, so it's also a very, So then there's one of the characters is a person who's killed for being gay, you know, like they're attacked in the streets of LA for being gay and killed. And so it brings in all these important issues. It takes place at the very beginning of the Iraq war and Afghanistan and, you know, and the Bush years. And there's like all this anger around that and conflict. So it's this deeply spiritual show. Oh, and about the Iraq war, like it feels like that's a reflection of what's happening now too, you know, like, this is a just war. We keep hearing about Israel and Gaza. It's a just war. And this, it's like, it feels like what we were being told back then. We are fighting, we are killing in order to bring about peace. Now, I don't know if you as a listener believe that, but I guess I should come out straight and say it. I don't. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we can't talk. It doesn't mean that my message here has to be thrown away, because I think it's important for anyone. I don't think it matters where you stand in terms of this war, to get the spiritual lesson of why we are here. These questions that are being asked in the show, and the questions that I think a lot of people are asking themselves now, these existential questions. Why are we here? And what happens after death? What are we supposed to do with the rest of our lives? You know, what should I do with my life? And so, getting back to the show, I was talking about the show. While the interactions are often funny and quirky between the ghosts and the main characters, and even between even among the living, they become increasingly serious, and it's really stressful to watch, which is why I said, like, I didn't know if it was feeling reflecting how I was feeling, how I have been feeling, or making me feel worse. And so it's a stressful show to watch as these various characters make bad choices over and over and over. And they fail to communicate with each other effectively. They walk away when things get hard. As soon as any conflict arises, they just like storm away, you know, instead of staying and trying to work it out. And they're often very self-destructive too. And just when you think that maybe things are taking a turn for the better, they don't. In fact, circumstances go from bad to worse as the show progresses through the seasons. And so it's truly depressing and hopeless. And again, like the last couple of months, things have just gone from bad to worse. And in the show, everyone is deeply lonely. They're disconnected. They're unhappy, whether they have partners or not. The family members don't know how to communicate with each other at all. And everyone just struggles just to get through the day, through each day. And they all yearn very deeply for love and connection, but they can't quite seem to reach it. So as I watched each night, I said that already. Was it making me feel worse, or was it just reflecting? So the show reflects, are we the same idea from the early 2000s and the Iraq war, the need for destruction in order to make peace? And are we there now? And it has the same feeling of anger and fury and frustration among people, and the need to defend, also, you know, support our troops. And then people accusing each other of being anti-American. In our case, people are, oh, you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Semitic, you're, you know, same kind of thing. And then I was talking to a neighbor, and I was like, oh, have you ever seen Six Feet Under? And he's like, oh, such a good show. He's like, wait till you get to the last episode. What they did, it's incredible. But he wouldn't tell me if it was good or bad. And so I was bracing myself for an ending that was so horrible, it went beyond my wildest imagination. I was like, are they going to have the whole family die in one fell swoop in the house? Like, is it going to blow up? I could not even imagine how bad things could get because they were already so bad. Kind of like, you know, I mean, in real life, right? And during the last episode, even until halfway through, things did not bode well. But suddenly it all changed. I mean, it was amazing. And you got a window into the future, and it was shockingly a heartening one. I couldn't believe it. It just turned. The characters freed themselves from their inner constrictions and restrictions, and they reached out and freed each other and gave each other permission to fly. And they healed old wounds, and they learned to offer and accept love and help. And they took chances. They grabbed opportunities for adventure and exploration. They found joy despite the daily struggles. The night I finished watching, I honestly went to sleep smiling. I thought, oh, it's going to be so bad. How am I going to even sleep? I shouldn't watch this late at night. But I did. And I was just like, oh, I was so happy. I was so much at peace. And even though the next day I woke up sad again, and like I knew it wasn't going to just solve all my problems, right? There certainly wasn't peace in the Middle East after watching it. But I got up and I pushed myself, as I do every day, to take my walk, a daily walk in the North Woods of Central Park, where I connect with the earth and get some peace. And it was amazing because I was walking, and you know, mourning doves, they have that, it's kind of a brownish gray color, and it, maybe it's both colors, I don't know, but they're really, so it's December, right? And all the leaves are, most of the leaves are down on the ground, and the mourning doves were so well, there was a whole flock of them, really well camouflaged, and so I didn't see them until I startled them by walking, you know, as I walked along, and they all, this huge flock, I've never seen a whole flock together, and they just took flight, and they filled me with such a sense of joy and freedom. And this thought came to me, ah, it's time to stop mourning. Despite the bad news and the state of the world, it's not going away. But how can I, because how can I go on like this? What good am I to others in this state? And then I was like, oh, I'm still feeling bad. But then a few days later, probably just like 3 days after I finished the show, or 4 days or something like that, I went to visit some friends who live at the beach and up on the Long Island Sound. And I was only there for 32 hours. Had to cut it short because my friend had a heart episode, and she's fine, thank God. But like, we drove back into the city, she wanted to go to the doctor. And it, just being there, though, for that short amount of time, it pulled me out of the depression. Like I said, I'm cautiously out, right? Cautiously. It's not that my friends are any more hopeful than I am, but they share a more nuanced view that I have of the situation in Israel and Gaza. and they have true compassion for all people involved. Not like I've seen, you know, I hear people say, oh, I have compassion, but they're just doing what they have to do. Bombing, you know, gotta get rid of Hamas. And I just feel like there's gotta be another way. And that then, and you can't, here's my view in case you don't know it. You can't get rid, this is what I've heard on the Ezra Klein show. I've heard it when I went to a Roots meeting, which is Israeli Jews and Palestinians who work together. You're not going to get rid of an idea any more than we got rid of ISIS by having the Iraq war and bombing the hell out of Afghanistan. If anything, it grew. People became more militarized, more drawn into this kind of thing. You know what I'm saying. So it feels hopeless. You're killing a lot of people. Thousands and tens of thousands of Palestinians have died. I'm in pain for the Jewish lives that were lost in the kibbutzim in Israel, but who were for peace, you know, those of them who were. But like, this doesn't feel like, so I have a more nuanced view of the situation. I don't think that it's black and white. And I had realized, like, it had come to my attention slowly over the last couple of weeks, as I went deeper and deeper into this depression, that I felt really alone. And feeling alone is enough to depress a person, to send them into a depression. So, I mean, I had started doing some things to help myself, connecting with people, finding the people that I can talk to about my views that aren't just screaming and yelling and saying, oh, how can you believe that? And you have to take this side or that side. And so besides finding comfort and connection with friends at the beach, I found joy in nature. I could talk to my friends and I was like, oh, we really understand each other. And these people are equally in pain. Like, they're really worried about the Jews. They are connected to the Jewish community, even though they're not Jewish. They have always felt connected. And at the same time, seeing this horrible stuff, you know, what the Israeli government is doing, made them really worry about the rise in anti-Semitism. And I mean, to me, this is fueling. The collective we of the Jewish community, to me, it's fueling anti-Semitism. People may say, oh, we have to do this. But the whole world, I mean, people, no, it's true. People don't like, the Jews have always been, people hate the Jews for a million reasons. You know, that's a whole other, that people have written books about that. Why do people hate the Jews so much? But like, you know, when you're also, when you have a people that is oppressed and that is, and the Jews are the ones who are doing it, it just makes people more anti-Semitic. As it is, anti-Semitism has been on the rise. So my friends were in that, they understood that. They were like worried. And worried for everybody, and heartbroken. So I had this connection with them that really felt good, that really brought healing to me. They also said that they don't know why this particular, I don't even want to call it a conflict, this particular horrible thing that's happening, of the Israeli government bombing Gaza, that it brought them, it really got into their bones more than the other. And these are people that are upset about the world all the time. So we had this beautiful connection that really was comforting to me. And I also found joy in nature. And the night, so we had this, when I got there, there was this huge rainstorm. It came across the northeast. The weather was too warm for a couple days, like in the 60s, 60 degrees. And then it suddenly, the rain passed and the weather turned cold again, and as it should be for this time of year. And then that night I was standing outside on the porch in my pajamas and a sweater, looking up at the constellations in the sky, breathing in this crisp, clean air. And I was energized, and I broke into a run. I kept running back and forth along the pathway, breathing in this air and getting my heart pumping and feeling really alive, until my nostrils froze. And I would go inside and warm up and then go out again. And in the morning, I ran on the beach and I dipped my bare feet in the freezing water until my toes turned numb and I had to put on my shoes, you know, warm up my... And it was just like, okay, these are the two things I needed. Connection with the earth, comfort with friends. So we all desperately want to know how this will all end. We might be asking existential questions like, why are we here? What's it all for? What's the purpose of our lives? We want to know that the wars will stop and the people will make peace with each other despite differences. We want to know that we will learn to communicate with each other and not walk away when things get hard. We want to know that we will wake up before it's too late for our children, our children's children, our children's children's children, and start taking care of our planet. This is all deeply depressing and frightening. And in the meantime, we need to remember that we're not alone. These are the spiritual demands of our time. And spiritual practices in general, remind ourselves that we're not alone. Seek out connections. We have to remember that our fears are not necessarily reality. Like in 6 Feet Under, are they talking to the ghost? Are the ghosts real? Is it there? Right? Are their fears real? At one point, one of the characters, the gay guy actually, he keeps seeing this hooded character, this hooded figure slinking, and he's like, oh my God. He knows that it's his imagination, and he's suffering from PTSD. And then finally, after several episodes of this, the guy starts stabbing him, and then he grabs him by the, and he takes off the hood, and it's himself. He's looking in his own face, and what does he do? He hugs himself. That was a big moment. Like, oh, we need to hug ourselves. We need to love ourselves. We need to be there for ourselves, be gentle with ourselves. And in facing our fears. So remembering that our fears are not necessarily reality. Horrible things are going on, and there's a lot of things that we can be afraid of, but there's a lot of things that we don't need to be afraid of. We have to seek out connections with others that give us strength and offer that strength to other people as well. We must notice that the idea of nuance, that things are never black and white, is actually spreading. More people are talking about nuance. Can we have a more nuanced approach to this instead of black and white? We have to not only notice joy and gratitude when it happens, but create opportunities for joy and gratitude to flourish. We need to find a degree of acceptance for what is and learn to better live with uncertainty. Living with uncertainty is really hard. accepting the horrible state of the world is really hard. But these are also spiritual practices, and at the same time, we need to look for places and times where we can make a difference, whether it's to one person or to many people. Because until we are 6 feet under the ground, we each have the power to bring more love and peace into the world. So let's use it. Let's use our power. Let's do it. Let's bring more love and peace into the world. One step, one foot, one word, one conversation at a time. May it be so. And say amen. And go to my website, realrabbinyc.com. See what else I offer. And leave a comment. Leave a comment, a reaction in the comment section of the podcast. And subscribe. Subscribe to my podcast so you find out when a new episode comes out. Maybe you already are. I hope so. So, these are my wishes. These are my prayers for the month of Tevet that we've just entered. As we are finishing Hanukkah, here we are on the last day of Hanukkah. We lit all 8 candles last night. And as we go into the deepest part of the winter. Until next time. Bye.